You will find no well, let's just go over here. A lot of these will be attached to the lectern, and you will see top TV evangelists read these same verses, and they will say to the Seventh-day Adventist, you should obey that Sunday law because the Bible says to obey magistrates. But the Bible has a lot of exceptions to these rules. Remember the three worthies, Shadrach, Meshach, and who? Abednego. Very good young people. They were brought to the plain of Dura, and when the raucous music played, they were supposed to do what? Bow. The most powerful man in the world at that time told them to bow when the music played. But they disobeyed with God's what? Approval. Next one. Daniel. Remember? Daniel the king at that time made a law. You're not supposed to pray or petition God or man except him for 30 days. Did Daniel disobey?
Yes,
he did, with God's blessing. Queen Esther, you know, back then, even the queen could not come before the king when he was sitting on his throne doing official business. She was not to come to him. But she did. Luckily, he handed out the scepter, she touched it, and she lived. But because Esther disobeyed human authority, it set up a chain of events where her people were mostly preserved when Haman wanted to destroy them all. Mordecai did not bow to Haman. Haman was the king's top counselor, and when he came into your presence, you were to bow to him. Mordecai disobeyed with God's blessing and approval. The wise men, remember the wise men came. The wise men came not to the baby Jesus, but the young child Jesus, if you read your Bible correctly. And the wise men first went to Jerusalem, and then they went to Bethlehem. They went to Bethlehem. And Herod said, when you find Jesus, come back and tell me where he's at so I can go what? Worship him. But God, the Bible says, God gave the wise men a dream and said to go back to their country a different way. So the wise men disobeyed the most powerful man in that region with God's directive. Finally, the midwives in Egypt, the Pharaoh said, kill all the Hebrew boys when they're born. Did the midwives obey? They disobeyed the most important and powerful man in the world with God's blessing. So you see the principle I've shared with you? We read four verses that say, obey those in authority over you. And in the context, there's no exceptions, but when we sought other pieces of the pie, as listed here, we found out that there are exceptions to the rule. So now we want to apply that to the topic for the day. Isaiah 28:10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, hear a little and bear a little. That's another way of saying, go through the Bible and gather all the pieces of the pie connected to a given topic, put them together, read carefully, ask for the Holy Spirit's help, and then you can be assured of finding truth. Romans 10:8-10, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, that is the word of faith, which we, that's Paul, preach, etc. That if thou confess with your mouth, just have to believe. You really in God and Jesus and say, I believe and I'm saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But this verse, I contend, and I will show proof, is true, but it's not what? Complete. You will see that as we go along. Remember, the verse I just read did not include baptism, right? Mark 16:15-16, and he, Jesus, said unto them, his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is what? Baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And damned here means to be under the condemnation in disfavor of God. So that first passage we read, believe and confess, but this verse adds another component. What is it? Baptism. The first passage I read was correct, but it wasn't complete. So that's why we have to search for all the pieces of the pie so that we can have truth. You know, I've met a number of people who come to church, read the Bible, sing songs, but they don't want to get baptized. But over and over in the New Testament, when people become saved, they are baptized. So if you haven't been baptized and you're of age, please follow the biblical example and be baptized.
Amen.
Now, a believing dilemma. A believing dilemma. The devils believe. Will the devils be saved? Of course not. You know, I read on the internet once, there's a group that believes that every human will be saved and all the devils will be restored to their original positions. That goes totally against the Bible. This reads James 2:17-19, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You know, if you really believe in Jesus and have faith, their good works will progressively follow. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. The fact that they tremble means they know what they believe. They tremble. It has an effect on them. So they have a dilemma. The devils believe, and you said, and I agree with you, that the devils will not be saved. So what's the consequences? Apparently, there must be some type or lower level of belief that is insufficient or deficient for obtaining salvation. That has to be true. If it's not true, then the devils will be saved. Imagine if you believe that every human being will ultimately be saved. Why would missionaries leave their nice homes in America and go to a third world country full of poisonous snakes and get malaria and all of that and maybe have a very sparse life if everyone would be saved automatically anyway? Why go through any trouble? What accompanies saving belief? You know, there's inadequate, insufficient belief that the devils had, but what accompanies saving belief? The Bible is very clear. What actions do saving belief prompt, if any? Well, we won't go to my opinion. Let's look at the scriptures. 1 John 3:22-24. And whatsoever we ask we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, plural, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandments. You know, the way to have a growing church is to have a loving church. Every one of us should be a committee of one to look around when visitors come or our members, that we reach out to them in love. Verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments, plural, dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So what talks about loving others connected with saving belief. 1 Thessalonians 2, 10-12, saving belief prompts what? Living for God. Now, that's just not merely my idea. I copied from the Bible. You know, the best preachers are those that copy their sermon from the Bible. You can't go wrong, man. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily, piously, sacredly, and justly, and unblameably, we, that's Paul and others, behaved ourselves among you that believe, as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. So he's working with people who believe. What is the consequence? What is the result of people believing God's way? That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. You see, saving belief does a work of refinement in our lives that we want to live for God. You know, they did studies informally. They didn't know they were doing this study. But if everyone kept the Ten Commandments on planet Earth, each year we would not save millions. We would not save billions. We would save what? Trillions. We would save trillions of dollars if everybody kept the Ten Commandments. Would we need a big army if people kept the Ten Commandments? No, we would just negotiate, you know. Would we need a lot of policemen? You know, it would be like Mayberry in the Andy Griffith Show, where the only time Sheriff Andy shot at his gun was to start a race. We wouldn't need the police. We could defund the police with God's blessing in that case. And there's a lot of people we wouldn't need. We wouldn't need security systems. And you know what the bank would be like if we all kept the Ten Commandments? The door of the bank would never be locked, and they would have a bunch of money stacked on a table, and you would take some money and put it in the counter, and that would decrease your bank account, and you would leave with the money. That's a bank if everyone kept the Ten Commandments. What actions do saving belief prompt? Remember, it's saving belief versus inadequate or insufficient belief. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, material and thus perishable, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, that's old English for conduct or behavior, received by tradition, teaching handed down from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb, without blemish and without spot. So our conduct and behavior will more and more align with God's will if we truly have saving faith. Who by him, that's Jesus, do believe in God. We're talking about believers, that's the context, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith supernatural help, we will fail as living with Christians, right? We need supernatural help of the Spirit. Was unfeigned, that means sincere or genuine love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, loving fervently. Titus 3:8, saving belief prompts doing good works. This is a faithful saying, and these things I, that's Paul, will that thou, Titus, affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, who are we talking about? People who believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. Now, our good works will never save us, but people who are saved will do good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Isn't the scripture clear? You know, we don't have to go over the mountain and under the bridge and around the corner. The Bible, for things that are necessary for our daily life, the Bible uses what I call the sky is blue language. If I say the sky is blue, would you have to consult with one of your elders to figure out what I'm saying? The sky is blue. Belief and faith. Belief and faith are significantly related. Regarding today's sermon content, believing in Jesus includes acknowledging that He is the Son of God, saving belief, not insufficient belief, saving belief connects to faith, a confidence in God that prompts individuals to act according to God's will despite their circumstances. When the three worthies stood in the plain of Dura, did they know the penalty for doing that? What was the penalty? To be thrown where? In a fiery furnace. So their circumstances were bleak without the Lord, but the Lord joined them in the fire, and they were preserved. Having faith leads to performing good works, for by grace you are saved through faith. So we're talking about people who are saved. And we haven't talked about works yet, but they're saved. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto, that means to do what? Good works. You know, when I have opportunity and I try to do something special for a person that they need help, it makes me feel good too. And that I love to see the smile on someone's face when you help them out of a difficulty. Which God hath before ordained, that's determined in advance, that we should walk in them. So the believers that have faith will tend to do good works. Individuals having faith are people of action. These are all in Hebrews 11. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What did Cain bring for his offering? Things that he had grown. Don't you think that were beautiful? Things grown in Eden? He brought something beautiful, but it wasn't in harmony with what God asked him to do. So he was so mad he killed his brother. He happy that he built an ark? Yes, because it saved who? His family, right? And Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he was going. You know, I used to work for the state health department in California, and sometimes they would send me to a conference out of state to give a presentation on some work I had done. And before we would leave, I had to know, how will I get there? You know, I need a ticket on our airplane. What will be my ground transportation? Where will I stay? What hotel? How much can I spend each day on food and get reimbursed? I would want to know every little detail about my travel. But God said to Abraham, I want you to leave. It's like he said, I want you to go down this road and I'll tell you when you would stop. Think about that. What kind of faith does that take? He was a rich man. He had over 100 servants. He was a wealthy man, and he has to leave where he's at, not knowing where he was going. That takes faith. The faith that you and I will need to get through the last time of trouble. Because of their belief and faith, two blind men were healed. And when Jesus departed thence, that's from there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, or Yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. Now we have no evidence if the blind man did not follow and call after Jesus, they would not have been healed. Even though Jesus did all the healing, they had to do something to be healed. You know, the stories of healing have some overlap with salvation. Jesus does all this saving, right? But we're still a part of a larger salvation story. Let me give you an example. Let's say that I, Andrew, was raised in a pagan secular home. I never read my Bible, never gone to church, never prayed. And someday, my friend says, why did you come to this Bible study? And I don't go, I don't learn from the truth, and I'm lost. But let's take that same story, and this time when a friend invites me to Bible study, I go to the Bible study, learn the truth, fall in love with Jesus, and become saved. You see how in those two stories, my action had something to do with salvation, even though Jesus does all the saving. A good thing to remember. True believers, we're almost done for you, Spot Watchers. True believers may have to suffer for Christ's sake. Let your conversation, that's conduct or behavior, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. We're not promised that we'll not face suffering. Think of the Middle Ages, where probably 50 million or more people were killed because they wouldn't go along with the dominating church. They suffered, but they will have an eternity of joy. So remember, if you suffer, it's not that God doesn't love you, but without belief in Jesus, a person is lost. How sad. And he, Jesus, said unto them, the Jews, ye are from beneath, I am from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said, therefore, unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So, belief in Jesus is absolutely necessary. I think we're almost done. John 8, 31 to 32, said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, who were we talking about? Believers in Jesus. If you continue in my word, what does continue mean? If you continue in my word, that's living in the harmony with Jesus' requirements, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, this is the last slide, and the elements on this slide didn't come to me because I stayed late some night and had a dream. These are copied from the verses that I shared with you. So, do you think they might be correct if I copied from the verses in the Bible I shared with you? And there's a lot of overlap between these different choices. But saving belief, why do I say saving belief? Because the devils have what kind of belief? Insufficient, deficient belief. Their belief does not prompt them to do good things. Saving belief is accompanied by living in harmony with biblical doctrine, obeying scriptural truth, living worthy of God, keeping God's commandments, doing good works, and loving other people, and being what? Baptized. You know, we read in one of the verses that we need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit directing our lives, doing a work of refinement, we will never do these things. Never, never, never. So pray for the Holy Spirit and seek to live according to His promptings. Now I have handout mentioned on the slide. Every sermon I give, I have a background sheet that's anywhere from 7 to 31 pages. I think this is one that's 15 or something, if I remember right. But I will be happy to email to you my background sheet that includes everything I share today plus more. So if you want it, take a piece of paper, maybe tear it from your bulletin, and just clearly write your email address, and I will send you the background sheet for this sermon. Well, I want to thank you. You know from last